Recording started.
Hello and welcome. If anyone has opened this message from an archive source digitally from our website or another area, please understand this is a live teleconference meeting. That means we will have people calling in from all over the place. We're going to give them probably 3 to 5 minutes to get here. So just hang in with us, digital listeners, and we will get started very shortly. Excuse me. In the meantime, if any time that you would like to join us on our conferences live, you would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-POUND. That spells free me on your telephone keypad. There's also information about Freedom's Way on our website, Freedoms with an F, freedomswayministries.com. Ministries is plural. So if you'd like to say hello, those who have dialed in already, now is a good time to do that. Hello, hello, callers.
Hey. Hi, Vicki. It's Steve from Montana.
Good to have you here. Thanks for dialing in, sir.
Hi, Vicki. It's Becky.
Becky, God bless you, woman.
I missed this morning. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Say hello, caller.
Hi, Vicki. This is Helen.
Thanks for being here, Helen. You're so faithful.
Good to be here. I would make it mornings, but I have night issues, up all night. Not up all night, just having to get up all night, and it gets worse all the time.
Well, I just break
one of
that
these. Curve. Yeah, I've done it. But I would appreciate your prayers.
Amen.
I can't take medications. I just have bad reactions. Anyway, God is good.
God is good.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else want to say hello yet? Say hello, caller.
Hi, Miss Vicki. Hello, hello. Hey, Pastor Phil.
Hey, Brother Mitch.
Hey, brother and sister. What's Miss Vicki? Sound a little, she okay?
I am. Do I sound off?
No, your throat sounded like you were a little foggy there for a minute. So.
Oh yeah, it's all the pollen in the air right now. It just.
Yes, ma'am.
Lots of sinus drainage out there.
Yeah, it gets all over. Yes, ma'am. I've been getting it a little bit too. Yeah, I sure have. I got my lovely wife here sitting beside me.
Hello. Yay.
I'm not behind the wheel tonight. I'm just behind the wheel of the Jeep.
Okay.
But thank you, God. All right, yeah, I'm on vacation this week. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, praise you, Jesus.
Thanks for that info. That's cool.
You're so welcome.
It's just people.
I hope it's helpful.
Yeah. Our church is not doing the Easter egg hunts and stuff no more. We're going back to the original ecclesia. And
that's good.
So people are trying to, Alicia, trying to justify the eggs. that's what was sent to me.
Well.
And I was like,
yeah.
Well, I know there's more to it, you know. So.
There is much more to it, but good luck with that justification thing.
Yeah. Yeah, 'cause we're just having a pet to do and a juice bar, and that's it. So,
I don't. Yeah, I don't think God's happy with compromises, but
yeah,
you know, he forgives us.
No.
Say hello.
Okay, I'm on mute out, sis.
Okay. Who else would like to say hello tonight? Hallelujah.
I invited Jeanette Bate. Is Jeanette come on?
I do not know. If she has, she hasn't told me. But it's not necessary that everyone announce themselves either. So hopefully she'll join in with us. Anybody else want to say hello? We are glad to have you here. And I am going to mute your telephones and we'll get started. What that means is you will be able to hear us and probably more clearly because everyone's phone line will be muted except ours. So if you need to get up, move around, if you're in your car or in your kitchen, whatever, we won't be disturbed with any of your background noises if the dog barks or the cat meows. So, praise the Lord. I am going to, if you hear a cat, it's probably ours. I'm going to go ahead and mute your telephones, and then at the end of the meeting, I will let you know how to unmute your phone so that you can ask a question if you need to.
Well, good evening. My name is Phil Burdett, and I am here with my wife, Vicki, and we are Freedom's Way Ministries, and you have tuned in to our Monday night teaching. We are presently in a series on understanding God's numbering system, and it is in the area of deeper things, so if it's not all very clear to you, you can listen to it again. Or feel free to ask questions at the end or even get in touch with us for answers. So at any rate, we welcome you here. I'm going to pray us in and get us started. Our mission is to help you come into your full true identity in Christ and enjoy all the benefits of kingdom living and the authority of God in the earth. So we are glad to have you. And anything we can do in that area, we're glad to help. So Father God, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the anointing on your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are good and that you have a real plan and that your word goes forward to fulfill that plan. Thank you that that anointing is on this word tonight to help people grow in you and learn all the benefits of the kingdom of God. So we just thank you for the word. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And in the name of Jesus, we turn aside any assignment from hell that would attempt to blunt or distort this message where God's people don't get the full benefit of all that it has for them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight's message is in that series, as Phil said, on understanding God's numbering system. Tonight we're going to look at numbers 2, number 3, and number 4. So in keeping with this current goal of understanding the deeper things of God through symbolisms, analogies, comparisons, metaphors, parabolic, prophetic language, we began last week, so you haven't missed much. We began last week a study on God's numbering system. We looked at the significance of numbers in the Bible. And once again, I want to remind everyone, this is not numerology. There are no magic formulas involved. We're not adding, dividing, subtracting. We're not manipulating the numbers. And it has nothing to do with luck or Bible codes. We're not preaching another gospel. We're not creating a new doctrine, making numbers some kind of God in our lives. We simply want to help you come to a greater understanding of the Word and how awesome God really truly is. So we saw last week how numbers are of great significance in our lives, how numbers are used to identify people, places, and things. Numbers are inescapably necessary in our lives. So it is evident that math plays a part in just about everything in life, from music to science, architecture, everything in life. We took a very interesting look at how God wove a mathematical pattern throughout the entire Bible and how his use of numbers is a remarkable testimony to his authorship of the Word. The Lord uses numbers to give us deeper revelation of his Word and to prove the validity of it. Hallelujah.
Amen. And I encourage anyone who is not on the line for that, the foundational or the foundation on God's numbering system, is to get the link. And to get the link, you just shoot us a text and we'll get the link out to you. 904-993-2876. The first message about numbers shows wonderful evidence of the truth of God's Word and points out the dangers of dynamic equivalency in Bible translations. We need to always have God's intent, his heart on the matter, not man's interpretation. We always find that in seeking God's heart, we find God's numbers. We don't want a Bible translation that has been diluted or polluted with man's intellectual paraphrasing. Numbers have a perfect relationship to the Scriptures, and many of the deeper truths in the Word are found in the numbers. The mathematical precision and the pattern of numerical meanings in the Bible proves both numerical inspiration and verbal inspiration, putting to rest any argument that man wrote the Bible. So we want to repeat for you a few commonly accepted rules that governs God's biblical math, so that as you are studying numbers in the Word, you won't fall into confusion.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to go back over these. We gave these last week. The first use of a number in Scripture is generally the clue to its spiritual meaning, called the law of first reference. A specific spiritual truth may not be evident in every single place throughout the Scripture that number appears. Number three, numbers convey spiritual truths in three ways. First is the actual use of a number. Second, the number of times that a specific word or a phrase is used by the Holy Spirit. And third, by the numerical value of the word or phrase. And what I mean by that is, in both the Hebrew and the Greek, those languages had a numerical value on every letter in their alphabet, in every word. Next, all simple numbers from 1 to 40 have a special meaning. Above 40, we found only certain numbers seem to have spiritual significance. The fifth thing to remember, doubling or tripling a number generally intensifies its meaning. Next, adding two simple numbers together usually carries the meanings of both numbers and a deeper spiritual truth. Now, I really stated that not wrong. It's not adding them together like 2 plus 2. It's 22. And seventh, where a compound number is divisible by several factors, the spiritual truth will generally lie in the simplest factor, which cannot be further divided.
Amen. Last week we saw that the spiritual meaning of the number one is united or unity. And that one is not meant to denote singleness, but is a plural unity, a coming together of several to become an inseparable unit. So let's go on to the number two. Generally, the number two speaks of witness. A witness either unifies or divides, and sometimes both. A witness in a trial will show agreement with one side and oppose the other side. So a witness is at the same time a union and a division. So the number two can show union or division as well as witness. There is a twofold implication of both good and evil in many places in Scripture where the number two is evident. It carries the stamp of difference. The first reference to the number two is in Genesis 1:16, and it reads, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also."
Two great lights. So here we clearly see a difference. The sun is the great light that generates light, and the moon is the lesser light that cannot generate light of its own, but simply reflects the light of the sun. So in a way, there is union also, because the moon cannot shine without the sun. They are united in light. Most biblical scholars will agree that the sun is a representation of the glory of God, and the moon is a type or a picture of the church, which is supposed to reflect God's glory. More symbolisms for you to remember here. But there is a difference and a division between the sun and the moon. One shines in the day and the other in the night. Think about that. The moon is meant to be light in darkness. At the end of the age, there will be no night, no darkness. The Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, and the moon, his bride, the church, shine together. Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. This is the only verse in the Bible that specifically refers to Jesus Christ as the Son, S-U-N, Son. That word means brilliant. The East. East indicates governmental perfection. a ray shining through a notched battlement. Those are the meanings for that word, S-U-N. So in Genesis, God created two lights, Jesus and his church. The Holy Spirit also, I think, wants you to know what the rest of that verse means. Go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. The Hebrew language paints a picture. And when you go to the root words, this is the picture you get. You will spread out and friskily romp around in ever-widening circles, centered in and tied to the strength and safety of the Lord, who is the brilliance of life, the sun of righteousness. Now notice back in Genesis that the moon, the lesser light that reflects the sun, was created to rule the night. That begs the question, are we ruling over the darkness in our lives? Good question. Think about it.
Well, amen. By faith, we are. God divided the light from the darkness. These two things are opposing forces. There's generally a clear division when two things that are somewhat related or connected are separated, and there is often enmity. This means the two are now in opposition or demonstrating the two ways of doing things, the good and the evil. God's way and the devil's way. Competing forces. In terms of two people who are connected in Scripture, this is certainly true. We have Cain and Abel. The one whose sacrifice was not accepted, and the other whose sacrifice was accepted. Esau and Jacob. The one who sold his birthright and consequently was rejected by God, and one to whom the birthright fell. Ishmael and Isaac, the son who resulted from man's way of doing things, and the covenant son of promise. Orpah and Ruth, the Moabitesses. Let me say that again. Plural, Moabitesses. Orpah and Ruth, the Moabitesses, who turned back to her land, her family, and her gods when their husbands died, and one who followed Naomi and her family and ended up in the family of God as a great, great, however many great grandmother of Jesus.
That's amazing.
Vashti and Esther, two queens, one who defied authority and lost her position, and the other who obeyed God and saved a nation. The examples are many. One teaches concerning the other by way of contrast or difference so that we can definitely see a division, the evidence, a witness.
A witness. Amen. Amen. A witness to truth. The unity of the number two is shown in Scripture when two become one flesh in marriage, when the animals are brought two by two, when Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, and there are many other examples that we're not going to go into for the sake of time, but my personal favorites concerning two as unity or strengthening, which actually doubles effectiveness in agreement, those, my favorites, are found in Deuteronomy and again in Amos. Would you read those, babe?
Okay. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them? and the Lord had shut them up. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Hallelujah.
Here are two important points. First, nothing can be accomplished without the Lord. He is the one who goes before and prepares the way for our victory. And we see that unless we are in agreement with the Lord, we can't expect to walk with him. The agreement is with him and not some other one. The two in this verse, in my mind, is a person and the Lord, not two people. The verses in Deuteronomy say that one chases 1,000, but two, double effort, put 10,000 to flight. The strength of agreement is to the 10th power. Two in agreement does not yield 100% increase. It's 10 times over.
Well, I'll say that again.
Two in agreement does not yield 100% increase. It's 10 times over. That is the power of a marriage. And that's right. And it's amazing what God designed and what people really don't get in general. Not saying they don't, but some do and have benefited with the results. Hallelujah. Seen the fruit. So we see in the number two a unity and a division, a strengthening and a separation, a witness. Moving on to number three, we discover completeness, the fullness of God. You've heard us say many times that God does everything in threes. He is a threefold being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That's right. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Threefold being. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. As he is a threefold being, he created a threefold being in us, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. For our threefold being, he provided a threefold baptism. The baptism into the blood of Jesus, that is your born-again experience, into the blood of Jesus, the body of Christ, that is for our spirit. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for our soul. And baptism in water for our bodies. 1 John 5:8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. I believe that refers directly to the three baptisms.
There are so many examples of threefold things in the Bible, we could not possibly name them all in one message. God shows the meaning of completeness that is inherent in threefold things in the universe in his creation. There are three dimensions, height, width, and depth. and not one can exist without the others. They are incomplete. An egg has three parts, shell, yolk, and white. Matter exists in three forms, gas, liquid, and solid. There are three natural kingdoms, animal, vegetable, and mineral, that make up God's creation. God called Israel to keep three great feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and which is Sukkot, and Tabernacles. The number three is all over Scripture. It's designed into life. It is part of practically everything we do. The first reference to the number three in Scripture is in Genesis 6. Genesis 6, verse 10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 9, 19. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread.
Wow. From three became all. Look at the names of these three sons of Noah. You have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem means a conspicuous position of honor, authority, and character. Ham means hot, inflamed within self, which indicates an angry, bitter, and rebellious spirit. Japheth means expansion, open, be roomy, be simple, and in a sinister way, it means delude, allure, deceive, entice, flatter, persuade, and silly. Now, why'd you say all that, Vicki? Well, in the New Testament, God tells us there are three people groups in the world: the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God. That's in 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. Now, these three people groups came from Noah's three sons. And there are three people groups in the world today. Do they correlate? I think they do. But I am not going to pretend to categorize who's who. Because in the end, the only ones who matter are those who have chosen to answer the call of God and to enter the true church, thus becoming overcomers in his kingdom. Amen.
Amen. So, three is the number that speaks of completion and fullness. In God's way of doing things, a thing is revealed in the natural so that it can become the spiritual and then manifest into fullness. Three is also the number that relates over and over again to the resurrection and the resurrected life, which is being complete in Jesus. When the scribes and Pharisees...
Yeah, let me interrupt you. I think this is a very valuable point here. In God's way of doing things, the thing is revealed in the natural so it can become the spiritual and then manifest into its fullness.
Okay.
I just want to just kind of emphasize that.
All right.
And then go into this, because the resurrection and the resurrected life...
Oh, three is the number that relates over and over again to the resurrection and the resurrected life, which is being complete in Jesus. When the scribes and Pharisees asked Jesus for a sign, I think that what they were saying was, why should we believe you? Jesus first rebuked them for not believing him, and then he said his resurrection would be their sign. It's in Matthew 12:39-40. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Amen. And I just also want to point out here, in the natural, Jesus Christ was resurrected so that we could be spiritually resurrected and enter the fullness of the life he died to give us.
Amen. And John, after Jesus ran off the money changers from the temple, the Jews questioned his authority in doing that. And once again, he pointed to the resurrection in his answer. John, you'll find that in John 2:18-21. Then Jesus answered the Jews and said unto him, and that one should be translated correctly, the Jewish leaders, what sign show you unto us, seeing that you do these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jewish leaders, 46 years was this temple in building, and will you rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body.
Amen. Hallelujah. The New Testament is full of references that connect the number 3 to resurrection and resurrected life. And so is the Old Testament, by the way. Now, if you look through the scriptures from the beginning to the resurrection of Christ, aside from the Lord Jesus, the Bible records 6 other dead bodies being raised to that point. Interestingly, there are 3 recorded resurrections in the Old Testament. The son of the widow of Zarephath, the son of the Shunammite woman, and the man whose dead body was thrown into the grave of Elisha. And there are 3 recorded resurrections by Jesus before he went to the cross in the New Testament. You had Jairus' daughter, the son of the widow. His body was already in the coffin on the way to burial. And Lazarus, who was already in the ground 3 days. We're not going to read all these accounts, but I am going to give you scripture references for them in case you want to look them up. You've got 1 Kings chapter 17, 2 Kings chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 13. Those are your Old Testament resurrections. And then in the New Testament, Mark 5, Luke 7, and John 11. Jesus was the 7th person raised from the dead, making his resurrection the perfection and the promise of resurrection for all of us. Pardon me, 3 in the old, 3 in the new, and Jesus, spiritual perfection.
So we can confidently conclude that the number 3 in God's math relates to completion, fullness, and resurrection, which is the completed work of Christ and the fullness of our salvation. Our hope is the resurrection, the fullness of God in us, the completion of his work through us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Colossians 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
Thank God we got hope. Okay, let's go on to number 4. 4 is the number of creation, and it carries an indirect meaning. That indirect meaning is trial, testing, or experience. So this is by virtue of the fact that the world, the creation of God, is where man is tested and tried and gains experience. 4, as the number of creation, is evidenced by the directions north, south, east, and west, by the elements, earth, air, fire, and water, by the seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, and even by the 4 phases of the moon. It was the 4th day that the material creation of the world was completed. The firmament, division of land and water, light and darkness, the plants and trees and grass and herbs, everything. The first mention of the number 4 is in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted and became into 4 heads.
It's interesting that God's first mention of this number connects creation to prosperity. That word river means prosperity, and its root describes a cheerful, sparkling flow. This flow was parted, which translates it broke through and divided itself, spreading out and becoming like man sprawling on all fours. When we follow the root meanings of the words 4 in this verse to their origin, we see a picture of reproduction. The origin of the word means to squat or lie out flat. That is specifically in copulation. So those of you who may have small children listening, tell them, you'll explain it to them later.
Yeah, most.
In any case, creation here in the number 4 is begetting, or as they say in biblical terms,
begetting.
When I say begetting? Begetting, as they say in biblical terms. This sparkling flow of prosperity from the garden of God spreads out and begets more prosperity, presumably. The word heads has many possible interpretations, but it comes from an unused root meaning, shake. Its translations include highest part, chiefest, part, top, ruler, summit, captain, chapter, band, beginning, foremost, first, excellent, and so on. So we see authority, or at least position, in the 4 heads of this river of God. The verses go on to name the resulting rivers, and I think we'll just briefly give you the meanings of their names.
Yeah. I was, that's why I looked them up. The first river that branched off is Pison, pronounced Pishon, which means dispersive, spread out, act proudly. This river surrounds or revolves around a city where there is gold and precious gemstones. The second branch of the river became Gihon, Gihon. Did I say that right, Phil? Gihone, Gihon, whatever. Gihon, you say it.
Gihon.
Okay, that one. Which comes from a root word meaning to gush forth, to issue, to break forth, labor to bring forth, come forth, draw up, take out. The third river, Hiddekel,
Hiddekel.
Okay, thank you. Hiddekel goes toward the east of Assyria, or literally, that meaning is goes in front of success. The fourth river branching from the separation of the river of God is the Euphrates, which means break forth, rushing, a river of the east. Remember what we said about east a while ago, about governmental perfection. The numerical value of the word east is 144, 144, which denotes governmental perfection or a spirit-guided, a Holy Spirit-guided life. So from this very short study of the four heads, it becomes obvious that God intended his creation to be in prosperity. All four of these branches of the sparkling flow bring with them some form of prosperity.
Hallelujah. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they were written for man, God's favored creation, to reveal Jesus the Savior to the different minds of the day. Matthew was written primarily to the Jews and shows the royal genealogy of Jesus, son of David, revealing him as king and giving the constitution of his kingdom in chapter 5 through 7. Mark was written to the Romans and shows Jesus as a suffering servant, and no genealogy is given because nobody cared about the genealogy of a servant. Mark wrote more about the miracles of Jesus than the other gospel writers because the Roman cared far more about deeds than words. Luke wrote to the Greeks, the intellectuals, and he shows Jesus as the perfect man, taking the genealogy all the way back to Adam rather than to Abraham. Luke takes a higher plane, writing about more about Jesus in prayer and with angels ministering to him. Then in the Gospel of John, Jesus is shown as the Son of God. The divine relationship between Jesus and the Father is revealed. And if you haven't read it, be sure to, because it is astounding. Yes, it is. John wrote to all who would believe with the subject of leading men to Christ and demonstrating God's love for all his creation.
Yep.
Other significant fours in the Bible are the four world empires in Daniel chapter 2. Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, and Roman, which were overthrown for all time by the fifth and final kingdom, the kingdom of God, and the four horns of the altar. Horns is the word that means strength. And four strengths of man are his mind, his will, emotions, and desires. These are the strengths that we are to place on the altar and sacrifice to the consuming fire of the living God.
Amen.
So that a divine exchange can take place in us. We give up our mind and we get his mind. We give up our will and follow His will. We give up our emotions and walk in His emotions. And we give up our desires and take on His desires. Amen.
I believe that He puts those desires in there, but those desires are only going to be realized when we learn to desire what God desires for us to have. And that is when faith will work for you 100% of the time.
Amen. Our desires adding up to the desires of God.
That's right.
That He put
when
in
we
us.
We learn to desire what God desires for us to have, then faith will work 100% of the time.
Hallelujah. I'm glad you said that again. There are lots more examples of fours in the Bible, but let's suffice it to say that four is the number of creation, with that indirect reference to testing and trial that proves us and gives us experience. Will we yield to the pull of the Holy Spirit in our lives and give up our own ways? Or will we choose the way of the world system and live in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life?
Lord, I hope not.
Do we want eternal pleasures or temporal ones? Remember, the Lord never sends fire to an empty altar. What are we willing to bring to the altar? Psalm 118:27. God is the Lord, which has shown us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar.
Amen. Amen. Think about that. You know, they always killed the animal first. Why would they have to tie it up there? That scripture refers to the living sacrifice that is our mind, will, emotions, and desires.
Wow.
If you want to make a confession to the Lord tonight and truly give Him your life, so that He becomes your Lord, not just your Savior, then pray this prayer with me. Agree. That power of agreement is so amazing. We pray out loud for anybody that's new on the line. The reason we do that is because angels hearken. That means they're listening to obey. They hearken to the voice of the Word of God. So when we are in agreement with God's word, they are released to perform it in our lives. And the devils also, those demons, they need to hear. They can't read your mind. They need to know you don't agree with them. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Father God, in the name of Jesus.
I come before you now and I declare this.
Come before you now, and I declare this.
I choose to give you my life.
I choose to give you my life.
Bind me to your altar, Lord.
Bind me to your altar, Lord.
So that I won't crawl off when it gets hot.
So that I won't crawl off when it gets hot.
So that I don't forsake your purpose in my life.
So I don't forsake your purpose in my life.
I do not want to close my ears to your voice.
I do not want to close my ears to your voice.
Or my heart to your love.
Or my heart to your love.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For revealing your heart to me.
For revealing your heart to me.
Through numbers.
Through numbers.
So that I can better understand your word.
So I can better understand your word.
And your will.
And your will.
And your personal messages to me.
And your personal messages to me.
Thank you for the spiritual significance of numbers.
Thank you for the spiritual significance of numbers.
And the many ways that you demonstrate your love for me.
And the many ways you demonstrate your love for me.
By numbers.
By numbers.
Thank you for the strength in the union of two.
Thank you for the strength in the union of two.
And for the witness you've given to me.
And for the witness you've given to me.
To rightly divide the word of truth.
To rightly divide the word of truth.
And to separate myself.
And to separate myself.
From what is not of you.
From what is not of you.
Thank you that you are bringing me to completion.
Thank you that you're bringing me to completion.
Day by day.
Day by day.
Hour by hour.
Hour by hour.
And moment by moment.
Moment by moment.
Thank you that I have the glorious hope of the resurrection.
Thank you that I have the glorious hope of the resurrection.
And you have verified that hope.
And you have verified that hope.
Through the number three.
Through the number three.
Thank you for creation, Lord.
Thank you for creation, Lord.
And your restoration of it.
And your restoration of it.
As I make the sacrifice of myself.
As I make the sacrifice of myself.
So that you can come forth.
So that you can come forth.
In power and in demonstration.
In power and in demonstration.
Through me.
Through me.
I give up my thoughts to the mind of Christ.
I give up my thoughts to the mind of Christ.
My will to your will.
My will to your will.
My emotions to your emotions.
My emotions to your emotions.
And my desires.
And my desires.
To what you desire for me to have.
For what you desire for me to have.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
And I pledge my allegiance to you only.
And I pledge my allegiance to you only.
I yield to your purpose for me.
I yield to your purpose for me.
And once more I ask.
And once more I ask.
That you bind me with cords.
You bind me with cords.
Even to the horns of the altar.
Even to the horns of the altar.
Consume me, Lord God.
Consume me, Lord God.
Swallow me up.
Swallow me up.
In the victory of your amazing grace.
In the victory of your amazing grace.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Send me.
Send me.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Praise God. Oof. Heavy anointing. Praise the Lord. Move in our hearts, Lord. Move in our minds. Move in our lives. For every person, Lord, who prayed this prayer, make it real in our lives. And help us know it's going to get hot, but it's going to be all right. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anybody has a comment or a question, push the star 6 keys on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your phone. And I just want to say, if you prayed that prayer sincerely, expect some increase in your life, in your spiritual life. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Comments, questions, star 6, unmute your phone. What a
hey,
word.
Sue.
I got on a little,
but thank you so much, and I love the prayer a lot. It's a hard thought, but God God has already, we had Amos and Obadiah this morning, and he just brought some things out of that reading. It so amazed me that if I hadn't read it, I might not have put that out there and or caught that knowledge. So thanks for the four. I'm thinking of 14 right now, you know.
14, yeah, coming up. Praise the Lord.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Sue.
Vicki?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Vicki.
Yes.
Could you give the characteristics of Shem again?
Yes,
or do you have
ma'am.
To go too far back?
No, I can find Shem.
God told
sure.
me 50 years ago I was of the lineage of Shem. And I thought,
okay.
Hmm. And when the plane landed in... Oh, go ahead.
Shem means a conspicuous position of honor, authority, and character.
Woo-hoo. Honor and what?
Authority.
Okay.
And character.
Okie doke. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lord. And I agree with God. Anyone else? Comments or questions?
Thank you. This was wonderful as always. I can't wait to hear it again on Friday.
Well, actually, you're not going to hear this again on Friday.
Oh, so we're not?
If you want me to send you a link, I will send it. Gretchen is going to give us an amazing teaching on Passover and the Feast of Israel. Yeah, going into Resurrection Sunday. So it'll be a brand new message for us. And very, very timely for this
season.
Yeah, for this season, for this week.
Yeah, send
so
me the
if
link.
If you want the link, I'll send it to you as soon as I get it tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Love to all. Bye bye.
Thanks. Who else has something before Pastor Phil closes us?
Yeah, just want to tell y'all thank you, brother and sister. Thank you for bringing it to us tonight. And thank you for all the love. God bless. God bless. Me and Nat both for listening. Thank you. Thank you, sis.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for being
brother.
With us. God bless you.
Thank you, too.
He's on vacation this week.
He's traveling, isn't he?
Vacation.
He's in the car.
I stay more busier. I'm more busier when I'm on vacation, though. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
How can you be? Well, God bless you, brother. Great to have you.
Thank you for bringing it to us. Thank you.
Amen. So, if there are no further comments or questions, I'm sure that you could probably hear it again. I remember in my younger days of following the Lord, how I listened to messages over and over and over again. So if you aren't totally clear on what you heard tonight, feel free to call us at the 904-993-2876 number, and we will be glad to give you the link to this message before it gets up on the website. All right. Or just text. Hallelujah. But it's full of meat and revelation. So God bless you. And Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We ask you to seal it on our heart, make it real to us, make it understandable. Enlighten our minds, Lord, to help us grow up in you, to be more like you, and to enjoy the benefits of your kingdom. Your word says, forget not all of his benefits, and there are many. So Well, kingdom living is the ideal form of living on this earth. And anything we can do to help you reach that goal, we are glad to do. So, Father God, we just thank you again for this word. We ask you, seal it in our hearts, lead us and guide us, Lord. And Lord, just bless everyone on this line with an amazing week, prosperity in every area of their lives, in the name of Jesus. And as Aaron the high priest blessed the people of God in the children of Israel, in Numbers, the sixth chapter, I'm going to do the Aaronic benediction. We like to close with the Aaronic benediction, which is truly amazing and
anointed.
And anointed from God to bless the people of Israel, the people of God, who you are. Hallelujah. And my wife likes me to sing it. So I will do that to the best of my ability in Hebrew and in English. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And we thank you for your blessing, Lord. And in this week, this Passover week, Lord, that begins on Thursday evening, I believe, at sunset, Lord, give everybody an amazing revelation of you.
Those who have been taught and patterned to reject Jesus, we lift them up, Lord, for a revelation of your truth, that Jesus was the greatest Jew that ever lived, and he is their Messiah.
Amen. And the Lamb represented in the Passover feast. What a week. What a holy week. Have a blessed holy week. Thank you, Lord, for it. We give you honor and glory this day for your word, for this week, for all you did for us on the cross, all you are. Just you are our all in all. And we worship you, we bow our knee to you, and we give you honor and glory this evening in the precious, mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget to join Gretchen and Freedom's Way Friday night for that teaching on Passover and the Feast of Israel. You will be blessed. We love you all. Have a great week.
Good night, all. Have a great week.
Good night. Bye. Thank you, Claudia. Thank you, Mitch.
Good night.
Good night.